Welcome to episode 417 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps us to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Donna. Royal Caribbean is a favorite of us here at Outlander Travel. Donna took her family on an Alaskan cruise this summer on Quantum of the Seas. From the port of Seattle through the Inside Passage, this cruise is dubbed the Alaska Starter Kit. Once you experience Alaska, you will definitely want to come back. Donna has been to Alaska 3 times, but this was her family's first trip to the last frontier. So let's get started. So I did this exact same cruise, I believe, just a few years ago on Ovation of the Seas.
That.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they compare. So give us a little info on Seattle and what you did there before you got on the ship.
So in Seattle, I've got family there. And so we actually ended up not having to have a hotel. We got to stay with family. But what was great is that we got plenty of freedom and we knew exactly where we wanted to go and what restaurants we wanted to eat at and all. But my kids haven't been there much. And so we only had 2 days, basically, to do the things we wanted to do. So we took them down downtown to the Pike Place Market. And had lunch down there at the Athenian. Love the Athenian. It's right there as you're kind of walking into the front entrance, and it's just a few doors down from where they throw the fish. So, you know, everything is super fresh. It's amazingly good. And usually I get crabs when I'm there, Dungeness crabs, because they have them right there and super fresh. But you know what? I planned a crab feast, so I skipped the crabs that day. And it was kind of rainy and cold and wet and icky and all.
So typical Seattle?
Typical Seattle, yep. Okay. So
you know what? Every time I go to Seattle, it's sunny. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Well, that's not normally what it's like in the summer. It's in the summer like months, times. It's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah.
When we lived there, it's gorgeous. But it was just a little cold front had come through and brought in the moisture and all. And the other place we really love going is Uwajamea. And that's usually not on the typical tourist radar. It's a Oriental grocery store right across the street from Safeco Field, where the Mariners play. And what's great is not only is it a huge grocery store, but there's also an anime store with bookstore.
Oh,
you can
cool.
buy lots of anime. And of course, cool. my daughter's really into that. But what's really, really cool is they have a food court. And there's different cuisines all in that food court. And you can sit there and, you know, okay, well, I really like the Hawaiian and I like the Japanese and I want Chinese and I want Thai. And so you can try them all.
That sounds really cool.
It really is. And it's one of the few places that if you actually go in and spend money in the grocery store, you can park for free.
Oh, that's a perk, too.
That is a serious perk in Seattle. So, and then on the second day, we actually drove out to Snoqualmie Falls, did a little hike, went up to the Salish Lodge and kind of wandered around there and all.
Did you do the hike from the visitor center down to the bottom of the falls?
No.
Okay. The reason I ask is because when I was there, there were signs all over that talked about how hard it was to get back up, how many stories it was and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to go down there.
No. We don't do those things. No. And if we'd had more time, we would have probably gone out to Rainier and went to the national park there.
Mm-hmm.
So... but then we got on the ship, and what's great is the ship is in Ballard. Ballard has some really great breweries right there. So you could go have a beer and then, you know, go get on the ship.
So you say Ballard, so it's not like the right in the middle of the port of Seattle or,
it's the North Port.
Okay.
That's where we went too. It was kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it is. You got to go. I mean, you're past Pike Place Market. You're past most of downtown. And you're kind of on, you go up a hill and then you kind of come back down the other side. So,
yep.
Okay. Yep. Most of the Norwegian go and all go through the main port.
So. Yeah, when Elizabeth and I did Norwegian, it was right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we took pictures of it from Pike Market the day before.
Yep, yep. So it's, we actually, it's a little further north. So if you're going to stay downtown, you're going to need an Uber or a cab or something in order to get there. It's not like you can just kind of walk there.
Cool. So I don't know about you, but I had severe sticker shock when I was looking for a hotel pre-cruise. I guess I'm just used to Fort Lauderdale and Miami pricing, because Seattle pricing was definitely not that.
Well, it's interesting, though, because it can be. It really can be. It really depends on what's going on in the city at the time. Because we went up there once, and I mean, I've priced a hotel for my mom when she went up there, and I want to say it was $275 a night. Not bad. I mean, and it wasn't like super fancy or anything. It was just, you know, kind of an everyday hotel. But the weekend, I went up there one other time, and it was like $700 a night for the same hotel. Oh, wow. But it happened to be Pearl Jam's coming home party. And they were having a big concert all weekend. And yeah, everything was booked solid. So yeah, it really depends on what's going on in the city.
Cool. And we went pretty early. So it was one of the first few Alaskan cruises of the season. So maybe demand was a little bit higher. Who knows what else was going on. But yeah, I was just a little surprised at that.
But I mean, honestly, you can stay across Lake Washington.
Mm-hmm.
In Bellevue, if you have to, and you're going to cut probably a good $100 off the price, but you're going to be further out.
So you sailed on Quantum of the Seas. Was that your first time on that ship?
It was. It was a very, very different ship than what I have sailed on before. I'd been on the Freedom a couple of times. I'd been on the Adventure of the Seas. I'd been on the Harmony. Some of the newer ships.
So it was your first Quantum class on top of it, huh?
It was, but the design is quite different. It's very, very small, and the spaces are small. There's not these giant, you know, open atriums with huge ceilings, and it felt a little more claustrophobic just because it wasn't designed for the American market. It was actually designed for the Asian market, and they tend to not worry about space as much as we do. And the other dead giveaway was everything was written in Chinese. So
I'm just going to interject that that ship wasn't designed for the Asian market. It actually went to Asia after it had been in New Jersey for quite some time, because I sailed on it before it went over to Asia. So it went through some renovations. I think when it went to the Asian market, but I assure you, because that was actually when I won Name That Tune on that ship. So it was right before it went over to Asia. So they may have done some redesign, but the ship itself, the Quantum classes are, you know, they're all built the same. So,
okay.
Yeah, the new Odyssey of the Seas and all that, those Quantum class ships are built the same.
That's the only thing I noticed is there were little nooks and crannies and, you know, the restaurants were kind of tucked away in a corner and, so
it's definitely not a small ship, though, when you think about small ships.
Not by any stretch of the imagination, yeah. No.
And especially not compared to things like Freedom, which you said you've been on before. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
But they don't have these huge promenades that, you know, with big ceilings and all. So
it's almost looked like they took an Oasis class ship and just kind of left it the same and just squished it down and made it a little bit smaller. Because when you walked into the atrium there, it had that same vibe with the Sorrento's pizza and the pub. Just everything was a little bit smaller.
Yep. Yep. I definitely got that feeling. So
cool.
So let's talk about all of our favorite subject, which is food.
Oh, yes.
So did you dine in the main dining room, and what did you think?
Yes, we did almost all the time. When I go on ships, I usually only do one specialty dining night. So we eat in the main dining room because I honestly, after walking around and doing all the activities after a day, last thing I want to do is go to a buffet and serve myself. I like people serving me.
Yep.
The food was good. It did have a standard menu that you could pick from. There was usually about three or four entrees on there and a couple of appetizers that were on there all the time. But then they always changed it up a little bit. They'll have a few, I guess, regional dishes, or if they had a theme night or something, then they would have dishes that fit more with that theme. Yeah, but we really loved the dessert.
Which one?
Oh, the it was a vanilla souffle with vanilla cream sauce with a little bit of orange liqueur in it. Mm. I think that I had three of them.
What night? Specialty dining did you do?
We went to Azumi.
Oh, nice.
The thing was, is I was kind of expecting it to be like the other ships that I'd been in where you had the teppanyaki, but they didn't have that. It was mostly sushi. And they didn't have the tables. Everything was cooked in the kitchen and then brought out to you. So
interesting. I do like the sushi at Izumi though. I would have been fine.
It was good.
Sushi.
Yes. Yes. So we'd planned that the first night. And then we did try the Windjammer one day for lunch. What was interesting is that it had a lot more Asian dishes on the buffet. So you had a lot more Indian cuisine and Chinese, Japanese.
Did you find a lot more of Japanese tourists that were on it because of the, you know, heavy influence in San Francisco and that kind of thing?
Not at that time, no, because we went during the summer and they were still having some quarantine issues all with Japan and China. So it was mostly a U.S. audience. However, there were Asian Americans on the ship, but they weren't, I don't think they were actually, you know, Asian descent or Asian nationals? From there.
Yeah.
Yes. Nationals. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes.
So talk a little bit about the shows on this ship. They don't have like a Broadway show, right?
No, they do not. They had kind of, it was called Sequins and Feathers. And it was more like a Las Vegas Review.
I was going to say, that sounds like Vegas.
It did. I mean, they had the big head, and that's what it was, is actually they were kind of going through the way I think it was designed, is that they were going through decades of Vegas. So you started out and you had people that were a little more covered up, but they still had those giant headdresses. And it went through, you know, like the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and of course, progressively less and less clothing. It was definitely not risque or anything, but it was, like I said, less clothing. But it was a little disjointed.
I think all of Royal's like custom shows need a narrator.
Well, it was, yeah, it just didn't quite meld together. It was like they took, okay, we're going to do this act and then we're going to do this act, but you know, they really have zero nothing to do with each other. And but it was beautiful, and there was one performer, and I swear he looked like Bruno Mars, and he kind of sung like Bruno Mars, and he could definitely hit those Michael Jackson songs. So, cool. And then Jeff actually caught a couple of, I guess, the house band at the music hall. He said they were very, very talented. So,
And did the ship have a, was it circle 270, something 270?
The 270 bar and the the 270 room. We didn't actually see a show in there, but we did go in there for breakfast one day. And then also we had, we got invited to come to the frequent cruisers reception. So we got some free champagne and all. It's a beautiful space. When we were in there, they were actually, we did go in there for breakfast one morning, and that's where they were doing their yoga, because going outside on the deck was a little chilly because it was kind of overcast and rainy and cold. So they actually used the 270 lounge for their yoga. And then of course, with those beautiful windows, they could see while they were working out.
I bet that was cool in Alaska.
It was. It really was. Beautiful. I mean, beautiful space to look at everything. So.
And how about your kids? What did they think of the ship, and what were some of their favorite things to do?
Honestly, I never saw them. I have a 17-year-old and an 11-year-old, and we were very lucky that the teen club allowed us to allow my 11-year-old to come and go as she pleased. We just had to sign her in one time, but then we basically signed off that she had permission to come and go. And we never saw her. Never saw my son ever. The entire, you know, week we were there, they were in the lounge. They were in the teen lounge. They were playing at the C-plex, playing video games. They were occupied, and the curfew was 1 a.m. And I think they hit 1 a.m. every single night.
Did they hang out together?
No. That's the funny thing, though, because she's my 11-year-old, and she was hung out with some kids that were like 12 and 13, and Connor was hanging out with the 15 and 16-year-olds, and they both found their little clique, so they really enjoyed themselves.
Cool. That's always good. So let's talk a little bit about your itinerary. The first stop was Ketchikan.
Yes.
What did you think, and what did you do while you were there?
Well, Ketchikan by far was the most beautiful place the entire time, because it was sunny, it was bright, and it was warm. I didn't know what to do, honestly. So, you know what? I love crabs. And I knew that, you know, I didn't have crabs in Seattle because I knew I was having crabs. And my son went with me, and he was shocked at how many crabs I could put away. I ate four of them.
Nice.
And so it's kind of high. I mean, it was about $75 to do it, but it was all you could eat crabs with a salad and cheesecake for dessert. And it came with one beer, but you could buy extras if you wanted to. And it was in a beautiful kind of out of the way little restaurant that was right on the water. It was absolutely gorgeous. My husband went out and did the lumberjack show, which he really enjoyed.
Did your daughter do the lumberjack show with him?
No, she decided, because it was 1 a.m. she slept in.
Really? Oh, wow.
She slept in, but then they met up after he actually went back on board and picked her up, and then they went out shopping. So
cool.
Yep. And it's a great little town for shopping. Yeah. So if you want to go out and just kind of wander, and you don't have an agenda, and you don't want to do an excursion, Ketchikan is a great location to do that. Lots of little shops to wander into. There's lots of restaurants right there. And Jeff said he had one of the best halibut sandwiches he's ever had.
So I have a fun fact about Ketchikan. When you're going into the middle of town over by like the Creek Street, there's this little like totem park. There's a totem there. That totem is in your passport book.
So. I did not know that.
Yep. Fun fact. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a great place a little place with lots of little shops to wander in and out of. So Ketchikan was a great, great destination.
I'm just going to pop in here to say to our listeners, it rains in Ketchikan 360 days a year.
It's a rainforest.
So literally Donna got the most beautiful day possible in Ketchikan. And although she says it's a great town for shopping, it tends to be a wet town for shopping. So for the rest of us who have been to Ketchikan several times and have never seen a sunny day there.
It was sunny for me and Ellie when we were there in August.
We had a good day. Climate change, I think, that's what's going on there.
But that's okay. I got one good day of sunshine. The rest of them were
cold and wet. There are breweries walking distance from the port. Although, how far were you from the port? Did you have to like shuttle to the port?
For the crab feast, it was a 35-minute drive.
What about like to downtown? Were you docked close to downtown?
We were docked basically right there. Okay. As you walk off the ship and you're in those little shops and everything. And there's a great shop there that's actually two blocks from the port. It's actually, I suggest when you go shopping and everything, go not on those first sets of shops because those are usually owned by other entities. If you go one block over or two blocks over, those are the ones that are actually owned by the people that live there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. It is a cute little town. Cute, yep. Like coffee shops, breweries, jewelry stores,
yes.
Bookstores. I found a really cool bookstore there.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, you don't even need an excursion that day. That would be one that you could just walk off and go wander.
Cool. All right. And it looks like the next stop was Sitka.
Yes. So what was the, I picked this itinerary specifically because it had Sitka on it, because when I was in graduating from high school, I got to actually go to Sitka and spend 2 weeks in Sitka. And I wanted to show my kids where I had hung out as a young adult. And so we actually had several times where we had booked lots of excursions and then they kept getting canceled and kept getting canceled and kept getting canceled. Sitka is one of those places. We had actually designed a private tour for the four of us, but it got canceled. So we ended up doing a tour of the Raptor Center, and they did an urban hike. So they took us by bus out to the Raptor Center where they rehabilitate birds of prey, and they release as many as they can, but of course there's some of them that they can't, so those actually live there at the Raptor Center. And then you actually hike back to the downtown area from the Raptor Center.
How far a hike is that?
It was 2 miles.
Okay.
You actually go through a state park. And the lady that was actually giving the tour was a naturalist. So she told us all about the trees and the plants and the wildlife that was in the area and all. And
were there totems in that state park too?
There is. Okay. There are some totems in there. Yes.
So when I was there and the salmon were spawning and they were everywhere. Like,
oh yes, crazy. We were short by about 2 weeks.
Okay. It was cool. It was really cool.
We saw a few, but very, very, very few. Yeah. But it was really great because the lady was actually very, very knowledgeable about the area and the history of the area. And then we came out at the aquarium center or the aquatic center, and then also walked down the waterfront where all the docks were, and then ended up downtown and got to do a little shopping there too as well. It doesn't have as many stores as Ketchikan. So if shopping is your number one thing, because I would suggest you actually plan an excursion, because you're actually going to get more shopping opportunities actually at the port than you probably will in town.
Cool.
And I remember like that Orthodox church, that Russian Orthodox church there too.
Yes.
Lots of Russian history.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, has anybody seen the Alaska Animal Rescue TV show that was on a few years ago? That actually, one of the focuses is that Raptor Center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I worked there for 2 weeks, and I scrubbed paint and, you know, scrubbed stalls and all sorts of things. And I got to hold a full-size bald eagle because I was over 18 and I could sign my own release.
So if he took out your eye, it was nobody's fault but yours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, she's legal. She said there she did.
That's right. Of course, they got mad at me when I got back and they're like, you should have done that. I'm like, I'm 18. Like, oh, darn.
If I want to.
And this was, I mean, this was a 22 pound.
I can bird. See 18-year-old Donna being like, yeah, I'm doing it.
That's right. That thing, you don't realize how big they are. I mean, basically, their top of their head was at my chin, and I had their feet down by my knees.
Aren't they? I mean, the wingspan is like more than 6 feet on those things, right?
Oh, they're huge. Yeah. They really are bigger than they look.
Yeah.
So. All right. And then it looks like your next stop was Juneau, which is one of the, looks like the only stop that I had that we shared in common other than Victoria.
Yep. So Juneau, we had actually, again, we had actually booked a couple of helicopter tours and they kept getting canceled. So at the last minute, we booked a excursion to go out to Mendenhall, but it was a late excursion. So we went out there right at the end of the day. So we didn't have much time, which actually wasn't a bad thing either because it was raining and cold and you couldn't see the glacier.
The bummer.
The clouds had set in and you couldn't see across the lake. So but we did get to do some shopping and all and wander and into some of the little shops and everything. And Jeff got to find something he'd been looking for a long, long, long time. We walked into the liquor store and he found himself an Alaska smoked porter.
Yeah.
So it was not a complete loss. We got beer.
Did you eat crabs again in Juneau?
No. We had actually thought about going over to the Red Horse Saloon, but the line was out the door. So we actually just kind of snacked that day. So we had to get back on the ship at 4 o'clock. So,
That's kind of early. There's a really haunted hotel/saloon right downtown there.
Yes, that's the one we were trying to get into. So
okay, cool.
But it was the line was out the door, and we didn't want to wait. So
cool. And then it looks like the last stop was the required stop in Canada at Victoria, British Columbia.
Yes. Well, this was interesting. So the Quantum of the Seas was actually having engine problems, and so we were supposed to get into Victoria at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30. We didn't get in there until 6:30. So by that time, Bouchard Gardens had already shut their doors. You couldn't go. Just about every excursion had been canceled. However, actually, I had actually arranged a private cab ride with a tour guide. And so it was just for our family. So Jeff and Alex were supposed to go whale watching and that got canceled as well. So I'm like, I called the cab company. I said, hey, can my husband and my daughter come? And they said, yeah, sure. You already paid for it. So what was really nice is they did have one or two excursions that actually did get off the ship. And so they were able to, we were going opposite of the buses. So when we went to some of the locations, there was nobody there. And of course, everybody went to, we're supposed to go to Bouchard Gardens. So he actually took us to the governor's mansion. And there's actually, the governor has some gardens there as well. And they don't cost anything to go into. You can just wander the grounds. I was kind of shocked at how accessible the governor's house was. There were no gates. There were no guards. You know, wow. You just kind of walked up. Now, it was closed. And he still lived there, but the building was closed. But, yeah. We told him we wanted to go try some amazing beer. Some amazing local beer, and we found this little Irish pub that made its own beer, and it was one of the most amazing beers I've ever had. So if you get a chance, go to the little Irish pub downtown in Victoria and go have a beer.
That sounds great. And on that note, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.